Turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews in chapter number 2, and then also turn to Hebrews chapter 6, all right? Put something there. We'll be there just in a little while. When we get to chapter 6, you can get real excited because we're close to being done, but Hebrews chapter number 2, and as you're turning there, I'm going to get right to it and just kind of, obviously, just kind of lay out just a little bit of groundwork, and then we'll get right to chapter number 2, the book of Hebrews. As far as the audience, of course, the author is God, no doubt about it. The human writer, it seems to be the Apostle Paul, but it doesn't really matter. It, again, it's the Word of God, and it's preserved for us to have today. And but it was written, the audience was Jewish believers. It was those who had forsaken the Judaism, if you will, and they had seen the fulfillment of all the sacrifices and the ceremonies. They've seen that in Jesus Christ, and they forsook that religion, and they believed upon Christ as their Savior. And as a result of that, I'm going to have to do something here. Okay, sorry. I have a habit, my right foot goes up on there, and there's something in the way, all right? So that was going to mess the whole night up, okay? But anyway, okay? Got to have your right foot loose, okay? But anyway. But these Jews, they forsook their religion, and they believed upon Christ as their Savior, and rightly so, we would say their lives changed forever, right? I mean, that's what happens when you meet Christ, your Savior. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things become new, right? Old things pass away, all things become new. There's a change that takes place, and someone would say, for the better, right? And yes, for eternity. Now, again, we're talking about these believers here in Hebrews, these Jewish believers, and in their present life for eternity, oh yeah, it was better. But for their present day life, not so much. I mean, as a result of this, it wasn't like everyone was just glory, hallelujah, they got saved. Their family would disinherit them. It's said that many times they'd have funerals for them. They would put them outside. They would have nothing to do with them. And so they would literally consider them dead. Okay? And so we might say, can we even imagine how that would feel? And don't answer, because the answer is no. As an American Christian, we have no idea what it's like to face that kind of decision. Am I willing to forsake all? Am I willing to put it all on the line and trust Christ as my Savior? That's what had taken place in these people's lives. And so there's no doubt that they struggle with this decision. Not that they had made it, but that there would be times of discouragement. Times when they would think, what did I do? And they would no doubt miss their family. And even they might even miss the ceremony and the sacrifices that they had been raised up in, the rituals. They might miss that. And almost have a desire to go back. I want to just go back to that. It's so much easier when I was there. In this epistle, and I'm not talking about losing your salvation, all right? But just as the Word of God speaks about drawing back. And maybe, as we'll see here in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, neglecting a little bit, letting things slip. If you will. And that's what we're going to look at here in just a little bit. And so the epistle of Hebrews was written for them. It was written to encourage them, to warn them. And tonight we're going to look at one of these warnings. And while it's directed towards believers, there's also application that can be made to the lost, and as well as a church, all right? We'll make application as the Lord allows. And so chapter 1, let's just go right through this, because you'll see right in a moment that the very first word of chapter 2, verse 1 is therefore. And so that obviously connects to the previous thoughts. And all of chapter 1 is filled with the supremacy of Jesus Christ, that He's above everything. He is above the prophets. He's above the angels. He's above everything. He's high and holy. He's above all else. And so God, no doubt, has lifted Him to that position, and rightly so. And thank God, God has offered us salvation through a personal relationship with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know Him, right? We can know Christ as our Savior. Now, if you found your place, Hebrews chapter 2, stand with me. I'm going to read the first 4 verses, and then we'll get right back to it, all right? Again, the Bible says, therefore. And again, I can't go back, and you're going to have to... I thought about just reading all of chapter 1, But I'll just leave that to you, all right? And understand that it is all about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, or because of that, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. All right, let's have prayer and we'll get to it. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Allow us this privilege to gather in this place for this purpose, Lord, to as we noted in chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, that the Lord Jesus is to be high and lifted up, and rightly so. And Lord, I pray that he would be lifted up tonight as we preach about him, as we consider him, as we consider the truths that we find within this portion tonight. Pray your blessing on it. Pray to have listening ears tonight, open hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Now, obviously we see that, you know, I mentioned that was to believers, and also another thing that we can point out is that the Apostle Paul, we could say, as the human writer, included himself. He said, therefore we. He didn't say ye. He said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed. And also he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So the Apostle Paul included himself. And so again, it's directed towards believers. Now, whether we realize it or not, what we read, and really that phrase, I'm going to kind of key in on that phrase, let them slip, all right? Have the ability to let some things slip. And that phrase is really, it's a nautical term. In the book of Hebrews, that's more than one time. And matter of fact, when we get to chapter 6, there's another nautical term, or a term of sailing. And, you know, much of the Bible involves the sea, doesn't it? I mean, there's a lot of application, and rightly so, because of the fishing, the application, the teaching that Jesus would do regarding fishing and sailing. Obviously, a major travel, and of course, jobs as well, major fishing trade, if you will. And so much of the Bible relates to the sea. And the sea is a picture of unrest, up and down, always moving. Yeah, you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that in heaven, there'll be no more sea. What's that mean? No more unrest. No more up and down. Again, we'll have the rest that we deserve, that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, our life while alive upon this earth is a picture, and I believe you agree with me, it's a picture of unrest. Right? Our lives are described by unrest. Up and down, this way and that way, side to side sometimes, this way and that way. And so tonight, don't get seasick, okay? But imagine yourself upon a ship at sea as we consider the passage that I read, and just speak a little bit about the matter of drifting. Because that's the warning that's given. That little phrase, let them slip, it has the idea of drifting. Look it up. That phrase has the idea of drifting, or passing on by, if you will, floating on by. And that's a warning that's given in verse number 1. And we'll get to that in just a bit. But let's step back a moment. And let me tell you that right up front, I have little to no experience in sailing. Okay? I've not been on boats much at all. All right, I don't get seasick, but it's just not been anything that I've really had a part in. But I can read, right? I can read, and I can listen to the experiences of others, because really my experience, I do have this much experience of on the water, and that would be growing up. We would go to Current River a couple times a summer, and we would float on inner tubes. Right? So that's the experience that I have of floating on the water. Right? That's about it. Now, of course, I was the captain of the tube. I mean, I controlled where I went. I was in control of that. And so again, I was the captain there. And so I do have just a bit. But you know, a good portion of the time when you was floating down the river, though, it was pretty much just sitting back, taking it easy. Now, Current River, you've been on Current River. It's called Current River for a reason, right? And in certain areas, the current gets a bit quick. And so you got to pad a little bit to stay away from trees, down trees and different things. And if you want to go to the shore, you got to, you know, I do that because that's what you do, right? I mean, you do that, might kick your feet, but it's really just a matter of paddling to get there, all right? And so I'd have to guide myself away from trouble and to the shore when it was time to get out. Now, commentators tell us that this passage, again, just looking by definitions of words as well, that this passage has to do about bringing a ship into a harbor, which was a very difficult and sometimes a very dangerous thing to do. I'm going to say this, and we'll make application a little bit later, but a ship never just drifted into the harbor. It never just floated without any control whatsoever into the harbor. The most skillful part of being a sailor is bringing a ship into the harbor. And again, that phrase, let them slip, it literally means pass on by, drift away. Again, basically, you got to be very careful as you enter the harbor that you don't end up on the rocks or even just drift past the harbor. And I don't know how many times when we were floating. Again, that's not like I did a whole bunch, but I mean, how many times someone would be, we were supposed to get off at this bank, you know, this little sandbar or whatever. Of course, there's a lot of rocks there, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, you're supposed to get off here, and you'd go over there and you'd get off, and all of a sudden you look out, and, you know, Susie Q or whatever was out there just taking it easy and drift right on by. Right on by the spot where you're supposed to get off, all right? And so, how many I've watched get taken into a downed tree. It's amazing how powerful the water is. My brother is a big old fella, and I watched him one time. Of course, he's big. I'm telling you, he's a big fella. And that there was a tree that was down, and the water was going under that thing, and it sucked him and the tube underneath that water, boom, and out the other side. And so you see all kinds of things like that. And so before we consider drifting, let's go back and again emphasize some things about that. Therefore, I already told you that it connected, and rightly so, to chapter number 1, the supremacy of Jesus Christ, and that He is to be high and lifted up because of who He is and because of what He's done, because of His position at the right hand of God the Father, because He's the Creator, the very Son of God. He's better than the angels. He's paid the price for our sins, and we ought to give earnest heed to the things that we've heard. I believe you understand tonight the message of Christ deserves to be heard, and it deserves to be heeded. Not only, listen, not just the gospel, but the entirety of the Word of God. The truths of God's Word need to be heard and need to be heeded in our lives. The word ought means it's necessary. It's necessary. It's our duty, if you will. That same word is used in other statements by the Lord. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 49 says, Jesus would say, I must be. I must be. That same phrase, that same Greek word is used, I must be about my Father's business. John chapter 4 and verse 4, He must needs go through Samaria. John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me. That's Jesus speaking about something that He was to do. And as Christians, we must give heed, right? We must give heed to the truths that we've heard. It's our duty, and it's necessary, listen tonight, to avoid drifting away from God. Amen. Drifting away from God. We're to give heed to these truths, and we're to do it earnestly, right? That's what the Bible says. We're to do it. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. That word earnest means more abundantly, exceedingly carefully. We're to carefully and earnestly, abundantly give heed to the things that we've heard. I believe it goes very well with the theme that our church has for this year, to continue in the things that we've heard, knowing whom we have learned them of. Continue in those things. We're to give earnest heed to those things as well. And it's not enough. It's not enough just to be a hearer. All right, it's not enough just to hear the truths, but we're to heed the truths as well. That word heed has the idea of attentiveness. Basically, to be attentive to a person or to a thing. We're to listen. This might surprise us, but we're to listen and pay attention to the Word of God. That's why preaching, that's why Sunday school class, various other opportunities to be underneath the Word of God, we're to give attendance to those matters. Sunday school is a time to listen. It's a time to learn. Preaching is a time to listen, not to pick our nails and our ears and clip our fingernails and all those kinds of things, but listen to what God is trying to say. That's why it's good to be in the house of God. The psalmist said, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Psalm 85:8. And Isaiah also says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. And so there is a matter of paying attention to heeding, to listening to the word of God. There's applying the application aspect of that, applying what we learn. We're to put the scriptures into practice in our life. When we hear something, it's not just enough, just again, let it go into this ear and out the other. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if it's true, then we ought to put it into practice. Right? I mean, the Word of God, there's so much change. And it's not nothing new to this day. There's always been change and always this and that. I'm going to tell you, I'm just simple enough to believe that if it was true once, it's true today. Truth is not relative. It does not move this way and that way. Truth is truth. And if it's in the Word of God, it ought to be that our heart is, God, if that's what you want, or if that's what you don't want, that's what I want, or that's what I don't want. It ought to be that our heart is just that tender. I don't care how long we've been saved, that our heart is just, God, whatever you'd have for me. Whatever direction you have me to go, I want to listen to your word. I want to heed it. Because I don't want to drift away from you. I don't want to let things slip and get to a place where I never dreamed that I could be. And that's true for every one of us. Every person, the sound of my voice. It's only by the goodness and grace of God that I'm standing here and you're sitting there. And it'll only be by the goodness and grace of God that we'll be here next year at this time. If we give earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest we let them slip. Slip. We're to be doers. James would tell us that in James chapter 1. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because when we do that, we deceive our own selves. It also has the idea of attachment. Basically, when we are attentive to the things of God and we apply those things, then we're to attach. That basically means to hold to cleave to attach ourselves to it. The word was used to describe the anchoring, securing, so it wouldn't drift. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're to hold on to the truths of the Word of God. We're to be addicted to it. Also has the idea of addiction. It means to be given to or addicted to something. We should have a craving or an addiction for God and His Word. Peter would say this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. David would say, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. The Bible says we're to give earnest heed to these things because we have a desire to do what God would have us to do, and that we don't want to drift. We don't want to allow, and we'll talk about this in a little bit more detail in a moment, because listen, let's just get right to it. There's a potential for drifting. There's a potential for drifting. Anybody can float in the water. Right, anybody can float along in the water. It requires very little effort to float. Matter of fact, it requires no effort. I mean, not too long ago, working with Raya about how to float. Hold her on the back. Say, just act like you're floating on a cloud. What do you got to do to float? Just got to relax. Because if you tense up, what do? You start falling down. So it takes little to no effort to float. Just let go. And listen tonight, the same is true in drifting along or floating along in a boat. Anybody can just sit there and float. But it requires some effort to guide the vessel where we want it to go, does it? I mean, you don't just wind up in a place just by chance. Obviously, the desire of God is that everybody would be saved and know something of the life that He desires for them to have. God's desire is that our lives would be anchored in Him and His Word. Those are the anchors that will keep us from drifting in this life, is understanding that we have that available to us and in putting those things down. Obviously, the anchor of salvation is a once-only matter, but I'm going to tell you, the anchor of God's Word needs to be regularly used in our life. We need to make sure from time to time and consider where that anchor, if that anchor's been put down. Or if we've moved. Matter of fact, I was going to say this a little bit later, but I'll say it now and later as well. There needs to be times in our life from time to time when we just consider where we started and where we are now. Right. In regards to truth. I already made the statement that truth is not relative to time. Truth is not relative to culture. Truth is truth. And if it was once true, it's always true. And so there needs to be a time in our life that we consider, where am I relative to the truth? Because truth don't move, we do, all right? There are many things that can cause drifting on a body of water. Obviously, we talked about it a little bit on Current River. Obviously, currents, right? Opposing tides and currents can cause somebody to drift. And again, I already told you about those currents on Current River. You'd have to paddle with your hand or your arms to resist the pull. And you know what? On this sea of life for the Christian, there is a pull of the old nature. Yes, there is a natural pull of the old man. Yes. Trying to pull us back, pull us away. Not pull us towards the things of God, but to pull us away. There's the pull of the world that we got to resist. We got to resist it by putting those anchors down, putting the truths of God's Word down. The pull of the world will take us away from the safety that God wants for us in Him and His Word. That reminds you tonight that there's safety in the will of God. There's safety in the Word of God. There's safety found when we put some things, we put some barriers around our lives. We put some, God help us, we put some standards around our lives to protect us from things. That's not a bad word. That's a word of protection. That's a word of, it speaks about safety and help in our lives. And so there's also winds of circumstance and things that can blow into our lives. And Pastor Abel's preached just a couple weeks ago regarding the Apostle Peter and how he stepped out of the boat and began to walk. But what happened? Some circumstance, some wind was blowing. He began to look at the winds and look at the circumstances, and it blowed into his life. There's winds of circumstance that can do that. We take our eyes off of God and allow these circumstances to take us where, again, we don't want to go. But you know what's addressed in our portion of Scripture? Is likely the greatest cause of drifting. And that's neglect. That's inattentiveness. That's doing nothing. That's just sitting back and letting her go. Right? Just living life by happenstance, if you will. Doing nothing, neglecting the things of God, begin to neglect the Word of God in our lives, begin to neglect the house of God in our lives, begin to neglect the voice of God speaking to us, giving us direction, neglecting the importance of setting a course, and then begin to take the steps necessary to get there. Again, we're not gonna live in the will of God. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is once only; it's accomplished by Christ. Again, but I'm talking about in the safety of the will of God, living where God would have us to live. I'm gonna tell you, that's not gonna be done by accident. Parents, we're not gonna raise our children see what happens. Right? No. You make decisions. And you set some boundaries out. Listen, why? Because you want them to turn out a certain way. Amen. Right? I mean, there's a desire for an expected end. Now, obviously, that don't guarantee. I'm going to tell you what, though. It'll go a long way in helping that on the other end. All right? And so we need to take steps necessary to get there, setting a course for our life. And when you got saved by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 40 that when David talked about God reaching down out of that miry, lifting him up out of that miry clay, out of that horrible pit. And what did he do? He set his feet upon a rock. and he established his goings, put a new song in his heart. And so when we get saved, God sets us on a rock. His desire is to establish our goings. But I'm going to tell you what, there lies our decisions. And the choices we make, are we going to follow through with those boundaries and the instruction given in the Word of God? It's been rightly said that people don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. Right? They fail to plan, they fail to take the steps necessary to enter into a place of safety. I made that statement a little while ago that a ship never drifts into the harbor. It never drifts, never there by happenstance. There are things that take place in order for them to get into the harbor safely. There are steps that are to be taken for that to be a successful matter. There needs to be a fixed direction, if you will. Because listen tonight, likely the worst thing that could happen is that we just drift through life. Well, I'll just see what happens. Just drift through this life. We rather than finding a course and charting a course and getting into, we could say it like this, God's appointed harbor. You don't have to decide to drift. You're going to drift. Right? We don't have to make the decision, okay, I'm going to begin drifting. No. We're going to drift unless we make some decisions that will prevent that in our life, unless we have an anchor. And we actually have two anchors, and I already mentioned that, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Our anchor is secure in Christ, and when we get to heaven safely, it will get us there safely, no doubt about it. But as we're on this sea of life, the Word of God will anchor our lives as well, and we need to allow this to take place. You know, there is in my life and in your life a constant pull away from God. I think we sing a song, don't we, in regards to that? Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Yeah. Prone to leave the God I love. That's the pull of the world. That's the pull of the old man. That's the currents. That's the tides that are pulling, opposing the things of God in our life. Just like the pull of gravity is on us right now. It's keeping me on the ground, keeping you in your pew, and it's really causing every those muscly teenagers. It's causing every muscle in our bodies to sag, right? It's pulling us down. That don't make you feel very good, I don't guess, but that's true. It's a pull. There are winds of circumstance and the currents of, we could say, carnality that will cause us to drift. There's the potential for drifting. There's also, it's very powerful. There's the power of drifting. If you've ever been in a boat that's just floating, it's amazing how fast you can just wind up in certain places. There's, again, water is very, very powerful. And matter of fact, I'm reading a book right now. It's called Unbroken. And it's a life about Louis Zamperini. And I just got past the part. He and two other men were 47 days. It was a World War II. They crashed, and him and two other men were in a boat. They were in a boat for 47 days with very, very little supplies. I mean, really nothing. They began to catch birds and It's unbelievable. But here's the point. Here's the thing that I'm going to tell you. Is they were on the sea for 47 days. Now, one of the guys died before that 47th day. But 47 days at sea, the longest anybody had ever done that, and lived to tell it. And they drifted over 2,000 miles. Over 2,000 miles in that time frame. Very powerful. Tides in the ocean, very powerful. I'm going to tell you, I'm not, you know, people talk about Australia and they talk about oceans and that. You really couldn't pay me enough to get out there, all right? I mean, really. I mean, you talk about sharks. That's another thing in that book. I'm telling you what, there were sharks always around their boat going underneath that and rubbing on the bottom of that just about the whole time. Unbelievable. Again, that just stamps... Not me. All right, on the ground is where I want to be. But again, tides. You know, you read about rip tides, and you can kind of see them if you have an aerial view. Of course, and it kind of goes out there. Now those will take you out fast, but the tide will pull you out as well. I remember we were at the ocean one time. My brother, he got out and got, I mean, he was way out there. And you know what happened? Of course, it was a dolphin, but he was way out there and trying to get back, and a fin came up. Like, wow, my land's what's fixing to happen now, but it was a dolphin. But it's very powerful. Drifting is very slow and it's silent, but again, it's sure, right? It's sure as we're sitting here. Matter of fact, there might be some in here tonight that are drifting. And the drift in your life is so subtle that you don't even know it's happening. But you're getting further and further from God's appointed harbor, or God's place of safety, if you will. William Barclay said this. He said, "For most of us, the threat of life is not so much that we should plunge into disaster, but that we should drift into sin. There are few people who deliberately and in a moment turn their backs on God. There are many who, here it is, day by day, drift farther and farther away from God. There are not many who in one moment of time commit some disastrous sin. There are many, though, who bit by bit and almost imperceptibly involve themselves in some situation and suddenly awake to find that they have ruined life for themselves and broken somebody else's heart." Because listen, no man, don't say this. Don't ever say, "It's my life, I'll do what I want." No. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. What we do affects the lives of others. But listen, it don't happen overnight. Day by day, bit by bit. We would do well, he goes on to say, we would do well to be continually on alert. I believe a good comment, to be alert against the peril of drifting through life. Again, that's why the writer of Hebrews said we ought to give more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest we drift on by the place of God's safety. Another account I read, an explorer named William Parry, he explored the Arctic, and he made his way to the North Pole. And he took measurements by the stars to see what progress they were making. And day after day, they journeyed and they would measure and they were heading north. And one given time, they were heading north and they journeyed all day. And when they took the measurements, they were actually further south than what they were when they started that day. And what he came to understand was that they were on basically a big sheet of ice. And that ice was moving faster south than they were moving to the north. That's why they ended up, unbeknownst to them, they ended up further away than when they started that day. And so understand that we're in a society tonight that is traveling south very fast. I mean, the society we live in, the world we live in, is traveling south very fast. And we might think that we're traveling north. We might think that we're going in the right direction, but if we would stop and take lot in our life and just take note of where we are compared to where we began, and there should be some noted growth in our life. There should be an adherence to the truths of God's Word, not a neglect of them, not a turning away from them, not a drifting from them, but an adherence to the truths of the Word of God. We don't even realize many times what's happened to us. The things that we allow in our lives. Again, these are things that God spoke to my heart about. Things that we might allow into our life. Thoughts and different things into our life. The entertainment that we involve ourselves in. The society that we're in has a pulling away effect in our life. And drifting is a very determined thing. It's very deceptive. And I'm going to tell you, it's very dangerous. Yeah. It'll take us where we never dreamed we would go. You let us drift, it's just a matter of time. And then we're going to end up in trouble. I mean, in a matter of time, we're going to be in the rocks. Our lives are going to be on the rocks, if you will, in the reefs. We're going to be lost at sea. We're going to find ourselves in a storm. Or at the very best, we're going to fail to reach God's appointed harbor. And I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about the will of God for our life. I'm talking about God's place of safety. Our soul never drifts toward God. Never. We're not going to accidentally wake up and be closer to God tomorrow than we are today. It's going to take some measured steps in our life. And the longer we delay before we correct things, the further we drift. And there's a prevention for it. Let's get to that. The prevention. You're saying, is this where you turn to Hebrews chapter 6? Almost, all right? Almost. Because there's some major prevention in in Hebrews chapter 6. But obviously, the prevention is very easy. He says it here in the Scripture. Pay attention. Pay attention to the things we've been taught concerning the Word of God. Right? Put some roots down. Let's use a biblical word. Let's put some landmarkers down. Let's put some markers down in our lives of truths of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, every major decision I've ever made in my Christian life has been sitting underneath the preaching of the Word of God in the house of God. Ability to say, yes, that's what God would have me do in my life. Put a marker down and don't allow that to move. All right, again, because truth does not move. Don't allow the pull of the world or the winds of circumstance to cause us to go back on what we've known to be true from the Word of God. Don't drift from God's Word. Again, truth is truth. And if it was true yesterday, it's going to be true tomorrow, regardless of the culture. To know how far we drift, though, there's got to be a point of reference. Right? You've got to have a point of reference. You can't just say, well, I don't know. No, there's a point of reference, and that reference point is truth. It's the truths of God's Word. We could even say, again, that point of reference is landmarks of truth in our life that have been set by the Word of God and by our forefathers, those that have preached to us and taught us the things of God. Because listen, let's get real serious here for a moment. If it was true of yesteryear, and we take a lot in our life, all right? Let's say we take a lot, and we should, hopefully we will, and we say, all right, well, listen, you know what? There was a time when I was over here, and now I find myself over here. Listen, what we need to do when that takes place is ask ourselves why. Because truth don't move. Truth's there. It's always there. Why did I move? Was I wrong then? Was I deceived and led astray then? Or have I made the decision to drift, to let things slip just a bit? Right? If we've moved or drifted in some area, we need to consider why. Because again, truth doesn't move. It doesn't change with time. It remains the same. If we say we've moved, again, we need to take note of that. Another way to prevent drifting is to just simply rest assured tonight. Rest assured in the anchor of our soul. Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 6, all right? Boy, you're getting excited now. Waking up, stretching, here we go. He's right where he needs to be. Hebrews chapter 6. This preaching might have drifted you off to sleep a little bit, right? No. Hebrews chapter 6, again, verse 16 down through verse number 20. Again, we see some nautical terms. We see some sail, some life on the sea, if you will. In verse number 16, better find my helpers here. Verse number 16, lest I say something wrong. The Bible says, for men, chapter 6, verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And so he says that our hope is an anchor of our soul. The Greek word for hope there is elpis, and it has the idea of an anchor rope. An anchor rope. And in Bible times, when a ship wanted to come into the harbor, obviously there could be things that were taking place. There could be a tight area. They didn't have dredges and all those kinds of things there to clean things out. There was rocks in places they shouldn't be in different areas. And so, in order to get into there safely, they would let down an anchor where they were. I believe we could say there was a second anchor there, the Word of God. It kept them safe right there. But then it said that they would then take the main anchor and put it into a ship. Another sailor would take a smaller boat with paddles, and they would then take that anchor into the harbor and secure it upon a rock or some point that they could then safely begin to pull the ship into the harbor. The man who went into the harbor was called the forerunner. And he would take that anchor of that ship and bring it into the harbor and fasten and secure it so it couldn't be moved. And so when the tide was high and the time was right for the ship to come in, all they had to do was begin to winch the chain or whatever it was, the rope, the cable, to slowly and surely bring that ship into the harbor. Now our hope tonight is an anchor of the soul. That's what the Bible says. And also the Bible indicates that Jesus is the forerunner. He's the forerunner in verse number 20. Jesus has taken our soul's anchor and he's brought it right into what the Bible says there in verse number 19. He's placed it right into the very throne room of God. The Bible says behind the veil. What's the veil? Well, in the temple, there was a veil and a great curtain. And that curtain went from the floor to the ceiling, from wall to wall. And only the high priest could go in there once a year with blood, because behind the veil was the mercy seat. It was the throne of God where the God's Shekinah glory was. And only that high priest could go in there. And the Bible says, Hebrews says, Jesus has taken our anchor of hope and he's gone right into the throne room of God. He's fastened that anchor of hope to the very throne of God behind that veil. So listen, our anchor tonight as a believer is not let down, it's let up. Right? Our anchor is in heaven. Our anchor is in the very throne room of God. It's right up there in glory. The forerunner has already taken it, Jesus Christ, and he's anchored it there. And I'm going to tell you, that's security tonight. We have security in Christ in our salvation. Now again, that has everything to do with our salvation. We're secure in Christ. We're talking also mainly tonight about our life getting into the harbor as well. I believe that second anchor could be a picture of that, the stability that brings going into the harbor. The Word of God, the importance of the Word of God in our lives. Now, there's no way that we can ever be lost or miss the harbor of salvation. That's our eternal hope. Matter of fact, I think I got a lot of songs up here. I'll just beller one out. But we sing about this as well. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds where? Within the veil. Within the veil. That's where that comes from. So listen tonight. On this sea of life, and you can all agree with me in this matter, no doubt. In this sea of life, we're going to have storms. There's going to be storms in our life. We're going to face some opposing tides and currents. Pulls from all kinds of places. We're going to be pulled this way and pulled. I believe the Bible also talks about being blown around by every wind of doctrine. This way and that way. What's true today? What's true today? What's essential today? What's essential? What's non-essential? All these kinds of tiers of truth. There's truth. There's no other thing. It's truth. Truth is truth. There's a potential for drifting. Don't neglect that potential. Right. Just like Pastor Abel's preached on Wednesday night as well about humility. Don't ever think it can happen to us. Well, I'm not going to drift. I'm not. I'm going to tell you. Unless we make daily decisions not to, we are. Yep. Right. It's not going to be an accident that we are here where we are right now, next year, unless we make specific decisions to do so. Don't neglect the potential. Don't allow yourself or your family to just drift through life. Just leave it up to happenstance. Now listen, I talked about raising kids, and as parents, you're going to face all kinds of pulls. Well, you got to do this. You got to let them do this. You got to allow them to do this. You got to do this. You make the decisions. You start the course. You set the course. Obviously, they got to begin to make their own decisions when they get to be 25 or 30, right? Amen. No. You know what I mean. Can't guard them. I had so many people through our life. I'm not saying I've arrived or anything. I'm still right in the middle of it. But say, well, you know, you can't shelter them all their life. Oh, I understand that. But I sure can shelter them while they're with me. Sure can. Matter of fact, I'm going to. That's what I tell them. All right, I'm going to. I'll never forget people say things like, because I always had girls. You know, I always have girls. And girls. I haven't had a girl dog for the longest time. But I had girls. And all the people at work and different things would talk about, oh boy, I'm going to tell you, what are you going to do when them boys start calling? What are you going to do when them boys start coming over? I'd talk about cleaning the shotgun, different things to kind of joke with them. But when we get serious, I said, no, we're not going that direction. I mean, I used to joke with the kids on the bus. I loved driving a school bus. I had so much fun. I learned so much during that time. I'd keep the first and second graders, kindergartners right behind me in some of the conversations I had. Whew. But one of the most ones I love the most is, you know, a first or second grader would get on the bus and they'd say, little girl, and she'd say, oh, Mr. Shane, I got me a boyfriend. Oh, really? Wow, that's good. Where does he work? And that boy, they'd look at you like, well, he's in second grade. He's in first grade. I was like, well, you don't need him. If he can't take care, if he's not working and providing, there's no way that he can provide for you. So throw him to the curb, right? And boy, they looked at me like this. I don't know what they told their mom and dad when they got home, but I'm going to tell you this. They don't need no boyfriend, tell you that. I don't know where I got there, but let's get back to it, all right? Don't underestimate, all seriousness, don't underestimate the power of drifting. Inattention or neglect can take us places we never dreamed we would be. Do things we never thought we would do. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you know Christ your Savior, you have an anchor of the soul. Jesus has secured that anchor in heaven, and I'm going to tell you that anchor is going to hold. It's not going to move. And you know what? You know, listen to this. While we feel the pull of the world, every once in a while, you feel the pull of heaven. A little bit closer. You know, Pastor Abel said this morning that, you know, we're dying. And I thought, well, yeah. But I was thinking about this. I said, also, we're getting, that's negative. Let's get on the positive side. We're getting pulled toward heaven. As a believer, day by day. Yeah, our body's decaying and sagging and all those kinds of things. But we're being pulled to heaven. We have an anchor also in the Word of God. You know, when we get to heaven, we'll be able to sing that. Now, we sing it right now. That song, I've Anchored My Soul. Man, I love that song, I Anchored My Soul. When we get to heaven, we'll be able to say this, I'll sail the wild seas no more. Right now, we're on them, aren't we? All kinds of this way and that way. Our life is up and down, but one day we're never going to sail those wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. We also have the anchor of God's Word. I'm going to just tell you this. I'm almost done. Get into it. Believe it, live it, trust it. In the Word of God, you know that. I don't have to spend much time there. I hope tonight that you'll not be, that will not be, spiritual drifters. Amen. That we would discipline our lives to give earnest heed to the things that we have been taught. To continue in those things. If you're lost, you find yourself here tonight, you've never been saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, please don't neglect. I believe the writer of Hebrews described it well, and I think he described it well because he enjoyed it. He described salvation of, don't neglect the great salvation. If you're here and you're lost, don't neglect the offer of God's great salvation. Don't drift through life and drift right past the opportunity to be saved. I'm going to tell you, that'd be so unnecessary. So unnecessary. God died. He sent Jesus Christ to die in our place. God has made a way. He has given us salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're lost, please consider that tonight. Receive Christ as your Savior. And believer, again, let's just take note. You know, in the Psalms, it seems like this word is really just, I mean, it's not nothing new, but the word Selah. As you read through the Psalms, you come to that rest. There's different times of life that, you know, you have a wedding or a funeral or some kind of a major thing in life. It really causes us, forces us to stop and to think about what just took place. Selah. So tonight, my prayer is that every one of us would just take a little Selah moment, just kind of stop, see where we are based on where we started. The point of reference is our salvation. When we got saved by the grace of God and then began to be discipled and began to learn the Word of God, precept by precept, hear a little, there a little. Begin to put those things into practice. Begin to give earnest heed to those things and see if we've moved in an area. And if we have, let's ask ourselves why. Why have I moved? Did God change? Did His Word change? Or did I change? Did I drift? Did I let some things slip? Stand with me, if you will, tonight. have a word of prayer together. Moment of invitation. Father, we are thankful for your goodness tonight. Thankful for the Word of God. Thankful that it doesn't change. Your Word doesn't change. Matter of fact, I'm thankful that we didn't read it, but there in Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about the fact that your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, never changes. Same yesterday, and later on in Hebrews chapter 13 as well. Same yesterday, today, and forever. So thankful for that. Thankful for the stability that we can have in that, that you change not. We live in a world of change. We live when people are changing, churches are changing, our society changes, nations change. But in the midst of all of that, I'm so thankful we have a point of reference, that we have something that's steadfast and secure. That's the Lord Jesus Christ and also your precious Word. I pray, God, that we individually would take note of our life, that we would ask ourselves, am I saved? First and foremost, am I been saved by the grace of God? If not, they'd respond tonight. And those of us who are believers, I pray that we just take note of our lives, see where we are compared to where we began and where we're headed. Well, thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a moment of invitation. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Some have come, maybe others need to. You can do business right where you are. But I'm going to tell you something about taking that step, coming to old-fashioned altar, just getting a hold of God. Not getting a hold of God, allowing Him to get a hold of us. That's what needs to take place. Where am I at? Where am I headed? Some questions that we can begin to ask ourselves. Yeah, we're going to heaven, amen. But again, we got a journey there. We're on a sea of life. Storms are coming. I've heard it said, and rightly so, you're either coming out, going in, either coming out in one or going into one. That's just life. It's just life.